This is HPR episode 2879 entitled, Describing How I Listen to Podcasts Part 1. It is hosted by Mr. X, and is about 31 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, this episode badly covers the console audio player mock.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X, and welcome to this podcast. I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available to us all. It's really an invaluable service. They go to a great deal of effort to streamline the service and make it as easy as possible to use. Just pick up a microphone, record something, and send it in. You must have something interesting to say, I'm sure. It's really quite easy. If I can do it, anyone can. So this is going to be a series about how I consume podcasts, basically. I recorded a whole pile of stuff before this and realised that I'd previously covered a lot of it in my old home server episode. That's HPR 2112, so you can always look at that back to, because it always, basically I started using I started with podcasts using a Windows XP machine and then transferred to my home server running mock music on the command line player. And I covered that briefly. I also, at that time, tended to use an MP3 player to listen to shows. This was a Jelly Bean type MP3 player with a kind of rubbery outer casing, and it was a bit awkward to navigate, and the screen was very small. I've still got it, I think, but I think the rubber coating started to come off and got a bit sticky, so I've stopped using that, and I use the wonderful Sansa Clip, which I'm sure you'll know all about. It's a very popular player, but getting hard to come by these days. They're charging silly money for them, if you can still get a new one. I'm not even sure if you can, and second hand they'll be quite expensive too, but that's by the by. So my home server now has really been replaced by a Raspberry Pi, but the server's still used to download the podcasts, but that's really about all it's used for, and my Raspberry Pi runs all the time and is used to play the podcast back. And the audio player I chose was the one that I use on the server, and I basically put it on every machine. It's MockP Music on the command line player. So I recorded a wee bit about that to give a bit more detailed overview of MockP. So I'll join this on to the end of this wee introduction, and hopefully it all makes sense and doesn't all bore you too much. So without any further ado, here's me earlier on. Okay, so I've recorded this wee bit out of sync, so I don't know how this will fit into the whole show, but I'll start to talk about the music player that I use. It's called Mock, And it's one of the programs that's installed just about first on every machine I've got in the house. Mock, it stands for Music on the Command Line, I think. It's if you got the man page up here, and the description says, Mock is a console audio player with a single NCursus interface. It supports OGG, WAV. It supports OGG, WAV, MP3, and other formats. Just run Mock P. Go to some directory using the menu and press Enter to start playing the file. The program will automatically play the rest of the file, rest of the files in the directory. God, I did a terrible job of reading that, didn't I? Yeah, it's a bit confusing. It's called, you know, the command is Mock P, but to actually install it, the package name is Mock MOC. So, you know, it's in a Debian type distribution. It's, you know, sudo apt-get install mock, you know, and that installs the audio player. So what else does it say? With no options and no file arguments, the program begins in the current directory or in music directory. If the start in music dir option is set in the configuration file, because there's the configuration file, obviously you can set all sorts of plethora of things in it. It's quite, last time I remember reading it, it's well commented and easy to understand. But if you give a directory on the command line, Mock will try to go there. If a playlist is given, then it is loaded. With multiple files, playlists or directories, everything will be added to the playlist recursively, including the contents of any playlist given. Note that relative paths in playlists are resolved with respect to the directory of the playlist or of the symlink being used to reference it. You can actually have multiple playlists set up. The way a Mock works is that I understand it to work is there's a server, a sort of a back end, and a front end. And so when you run, if you type mock and hit return, and you select a file and start playing it, if you type Q to quit, the front end disappears. You get back to the command line, but the file continues to play because there's a mock server running in the background. And there's a command, I think it might be dash P. Let me just check if it is dash P. Yeah, so here we go. So there's, you can have multiple playlists set up using the dash M command. So for example, there's a default one that just works when you type mock P. But if you run it, the command line, you say mock P dash M and give a different directory, a different default directory, it's almost like you have two instances of mock running, and you can have a playlist set up in each. So for example, I have the default directory was how I first started using Mock, and I use that to play podcasts, and I've got Mock P-M, and then I've got a folder for audiobooks, and I've got a playlist set up for that, and they're both sitting loaded at the same time, and I can access either one either by using the dash M command and the directory or not, and I can toggle between them and control them completely independently. So that's a really nice feature. There's so much to Mock P. I really don't know where to begin. And I just see I'm just going to run Mock P just now, and it loads up. And you by default, if you're not doing anything clever, you just run it for the first time. you end up with a split panel. It's a wee bit like Midnight Commander, and it's the same kind of colours as well in Curse's screen. And on the left hand side, you've got the directory listing, and currently mine's is my home directory, and I can pick a directory and find a file, hit return, and it starts playing. But on the right hand side, there's a window for called with a title called Playlist, and there's nothing in it because there's no playlist loaded as such. And if you start playing something, I don't think the playlist actually, let's just pick, I'll pick a something here. So there you go. That's nothing comes up in the playlist, so that's that's fine. But if you want to add things to the playlist, you just either highlight with that up and down cursor keys the directory or the file you want, and you just hit the A key, and that then adds items to the playlist. Likewise, you can delete things by hitting the D key. You tab between the two panels. You can, I think I tweaked the configuration file slightly so that I can have multiple layouts. So the default layout has the file directory on one side and the playlist on the other. If I type the L key, it's all driven by the keyboard. Great. Never need to touch a mouse. It's fantastic. Anyway, you type the L key, and it's now jumping to a full-sized in your terminal, a full-size window that just shows you files and directories, which originally was on the left-hand side. If I type L again, it jumps back to the split panel. Now, actually, I think I've tweaked mine so that it goes. This is just a default installation now that I think about it. But in most of my machines, I have it set up so that I type L, and first of all, it goes to the file directory. I type L a second time, and it jumps to a full screen playlist. And that's how it normally sits on the playlist window. And when I open it up again, it just remembers where I was. So for example, if I hit the Q command to quit that, it just quits, and the terminal window comes back with a flashing cursor and whatnot. But the mock server is still running, and if I was playing something, it would continue to play. And so if I type mock P again, the window loads and remembers the layout, I think. No, it doesn't. It always forgets the layout, that's right. But I tend to access it via a screen session. So, you know, if you're reattached to the screen session, it remembers, it stays put, sort of thing. It's very 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 low resources. It uses very little resources. Really powerful. And of course, you've got extensive commands of the thing. I mean, some of the commands I use, dash G and capital G toggle, so that can toggle between play and pause. You can script all this, obviously. Dash R for previous, a small dash R. Small dash F for next, small dash I for info. Let's see what sort of some of the interesting things. So you've got a dash S command that runs only the server and exits. So you could just bring up the server without actually showing the front end. I've never used that, but you could do it. Oh, here we go. That thing I was talking about the dash M to have multiple playlists. I'm going to read the comment. It says, there's a capital dash M. It uses the specified mock directory instead of the default. This also causes the configuration file from that directory to be used. This can also be specified in the configuration file using the mock dir option. If you've never I think if you run it for the first time, it generates all these things. So, you know, if you create a directory, like I've got a directory for my audiobooks, and if I use a dash M option and then to the path where that audiobooks are, then it creates a folder in the .mock, I think, from what I remember. .mock. Yes, I've got a folder in there called audiobooks, and if I go into that, mock generates a number of files. I've got a cache, I've got a config, I've got EQ sets for equalization, so you can set up files for there's a graphic equalizer which you can run with presets in that file. I've added that. Last directory, my key maps, I've got a key map that tweaks some of the keyboard bindings and whatnot. Playlist.m3u, so if you add files to your playlist, that file gets generated and files get added to it. You don't need to create it, it does it itself. Obviously you can use a playlist from something else, because these .m3u's are standard and it's recognised, obviously, so you could use a playlist from another bit of software, I guess. So yeah, that's inside audiobooks. But if I come out of that inside mock, then the similar sort of files are in the actual base mock directory. So it allows you to have multiple playlists. So that's quite handy. This has been all over the place. I haven't really thought this through, have I? That's on the cuff. Yeah. So apparently the A command is. There's a dash append file. Oh, yes, you can use you can give a command dash A, and then a directory, and that will append recursively all the files in that directory to a playlist. That would be quite handy to add a whole pile of files, and it doesn't start the interface. And that's the other thing, you can have multiple interfaces running. So you know, you could have a screen session running on one computer. Or it doesn't even need a screen session, it could just be a normal terminal, and you can type mockp, and then you can open another terminal, type mockp again, and it'll appear, and you can determine whether the two are synchronized or not. I think maybe by default they are, so if you move the cursor in one window, it moves in the other, and likewise if you're running mockp on multiple, you know, if you have multiple machines logged into a server, for example, you know, you have your laptop and a whole host of different things all linked into a central server, and you know, if you move from room to room and you move the cursor, then all the windows update with that information. So it's a very convenient way of controlling the music player sort of thing. You know, like from multiple screens, you can access that same player and multiple front ends sort of thing. So it's very flexible. Dash C, you can clear the playlist. Dash B or dash dash play. Dash F or dash dash next. Dash R or dash dash previous. Dash S or dash dash stop. Dash X or dash dash exit. That brings down the server, the back end sort of thing. Dash capital P, I think. And dash dash pause, pauses it obviously. Dash U, capital dash U I should say, dash dash unpause. Dash G, capital G, or dash dash toggle pause, that allows you to toggle between play and pause. I have a funny feeling this, you know, I haven't really said this, but I think mockp is possibly an active development. I seem to remember when I first stumbled across mockp, you know, it was a bit quiet, there wasn't much going on, but I think other people have got involved now, and I think it's a bit more active development on it. I think I'm on version 2.5, I think, is the latest one I've got here. I think I was going to say there's an option here I use called a dash K. Seek forward, position, or backward negative by n seconds in the file currently being played. So I have a funny feeling that wasn't originally that option wasn't originally there, but it is now. So yeah, there's active development going on. Dash T, you can theme it, give a theme file, and I mean it's just like changing the it's an incurses window, so there's only limited things you can do color wise. But yeah, you could make it jet black and white if you like it, or green and black if you like that kind of color. If you like the that sort of thing. Dash C or dash dash config, that you can specify where the configuration file is. If you want to put it somewhere else apart from as opposed to the default location. The default location, I didn't know if I made it very clear, but mock stores its files by default in the .mock directory, and the .mock directory is stored in your home directory. What else? Well, yes, dash Y or dash dash sync. This copy of the interface will synchronize its playlist with other clients. This option is called sync playlist in the configuration file. I'm sure I didn't use that option, and yet they do all synchronize. So maybe that's the default. That's what happens in default, because there's another one, the option here is dash N or dash dash no sync. This copy of the interface will not synchronize its playlist with other clients. See above. Dash A or dash dash ASCII. Use ASCII characters to draw lines. This helps on some terminals. So if you've got a khaki old terminal or something like that, that'll allow it to work properly. I have a funny feeling I had an old version of Linux running on something, and I did have to use that at one point. So yeah, kind of handy. Dash I, dash dash info, prints information about the file currently being played. Dash Q, dash dash format, prints information about the file currently being played using a format string. Replace string sequences with the actual format. So you've got the I think that's a new option. I think originally you just did dash I and it just blurted out everything, but if you wanted a specific piece of information, now you can do dash capital Q space, I think, say percent state, and then it'll return what state mocks in. In other words, is it playing, is it paused, what's it doing, you know? Or percent file, and it returns the file name being played. So that's quite neat. It's also possible to use variables from the format string configuration file option. Dash E or dash dash recursively, alias of dash A for backward compatibility. Does that mean dash E was originally what was used? I'm not quite sure. Dash H or dash dash help. That's kind of obvious. Prints a list of options with short descriptions and exits. Dash capital V or dash dash version. That gives you versions. Dash V lower V. And then with a number plus or minus, and that adjusts the mixer volume level. Oh, that's quite handy. Dash J, lowercase j, or dash dash jump to some position in the current file. N is the number of seconds when followed by an S, or percentage of total file time when followed by percent. Example, dash J 10S, comma dash J 50%. Oh, examples. Oh, aye, very good. So that's good. Files. So you've got files stored in the .mock directory. Mock directory for the configuration file, socket, the PID file, and other data. That's in your home directory. .mock / config. The configuration file for mock. This format is very simple to see how to use it. Look at the example configuration file config.example distributed with the program. The example file fully describes all the configuration options, and so is a useful reference when using the dash O option, as this file can specify commands which invoke other applications. Mock will refuse to start if it is not owned by either root or the current user, or if it is written by anyone other than its owner. Home directory.mock/themes, that's where you store your themes, obviously. /user/share/mock decoder plugins, default directories for audio decoder plugins. So there must be plugins available for it, I presume. I think that's probably about it. Just see some of the keyboard commands I use. Now, I think I only changed it a little, but I didn't go daft with the changes I did. But let's just see if I can see what the default key bindings are, if I can find it. So yes, so if you've got Mock P loaded, you can, if you hold the shift key down on my keyboard, the question mark, you need to hold the shift key down, so I'll do that and get the question mark to activate. And there's quite a few commands. I'm not going to go through them all, but Q, that's lowercase q, detach mock from server, so that just closes down the program. Enter starts playing at this file or goes to this directory. Down and up, page up and down, home and end. Well, these are kind of obvious. Capital Q quits, so that presumably quits the back end and the front end and stops playing everything. S stops playing everything. N, play next file. B, previous file. P, or space for pause. I use these sort of commands quite a bit. Tab to tab between the two windows, as I'm only picking the ones that I tend to use. I'm not going to go through them all because there's far too many. L, switch between layouts. That's quite handy, as I say, switch between file list or playlist or whatever. I say mine's just set up, so I've got, as I said before, the L switches between the file list on one side and the playlist on the other. Or if you hit L again, it goes to full screen playlist, or L a third time, it goes to full screen playlist. And I tend to leave it on the playlist, as I said. A, add a file. Capital A, add a directory recursively. The greater than sign and less than sign increases and decreases the volume. That's quite handy. By 1%, or comma and dot does it by 5%. Left and right key seeks forward and back. I think I tweaked that a little bit so that I've got two levels of seek. I've got a slow seek and a fast seek, but that's probably more detail than you'd want to know. What else is there? Oh, and there's square brackets, open and close square brackets, seek forward by 5 seconds. Yeah, that's right, you can jump faster if you want. What else do I tend to use? You can actually execute commands. That can be quite powerful with function keys. I think I played about with that a wee bit, but I can't remember. I don't use it these days. But I think I had the odd command that I ran. The F command. I missed that. F command says toggles reading tag options, so that's very handy. So you're in either the playlist or the directory list, and if you hit F, it'll by default it reads ID3 tag. You think, oh, what the heck's that file name? So you hit F, the F key, and it toggles the reading the tag. It instead it goes to reading the file. I think of the F command as going to file view, but it's not really. It's switching between reading the tags and not reading the tags of the MP3 file. So that's very handy to get, you know, when you're playing a track, you say, well, what's that actually called? What's the file name? Just type, hit F, and that shows you the file. Hit F again, and it goes back to what the actual ID3 tag is. That's quite handy. So MockP, it's a fantastic little audio player. I highly recommend it. And I think at first I used the interface quite a lot, but I run it through scripts and stuff, which I may already have covered after this, when I talk about the project that I pulled together. So yes, this was completely disjointed and all over the place, so I must apologise. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this, and I recommend you give Mocha a go. It's a smashing wee command line audio player, and a lovely piece of software, really nice. It's my favourite audio player on Linux by far. It's just a joy to use. What else can I say about it? Just use it. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this, didn't find it too boring. If you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, listen, thank you, listen, and goodbye.
Listen. You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.